Hi, this is Betty, and I'm reading from the News Gazette on Friday, January 22nd. And the pandemic information. Illinois has 1,086,333 cases, which is almost an increase of 5,000, and deaths, 18,520. In Champaign County, we had 15,631 cases, 104 deaths. Douglas County, 2,104 cases with 36 deaths. Ford County, 1,400 cases with 41 deaths. Piatt County, 1,239 cases with 11 deaths. And the positivity rate for everybody is under 6%. And some of the little bullet points here on the Illinois impact is welcome back to Phase 4, Region 6. And after 62 days under stricter conditions, the area that includes Champaign, Douglas, Ford, Piatt, and Vermilion counties is returning to Phase 4, which means gatherings of up to 50 are permitted. So, we also have Muhammad Seaborn. Superintendent Lindsay Hall said the district will take a one-day pause from in-person learning, with all classes today held remotely. And then another bullet point is 13,415 residents, or 6.4% of Champaign County's population, have now received the first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. Another 2,177 have gotten both doses. And this is reported by Jeff D'Alessio. And the next article says, next up in Champaign County, 65 and older, by Deborah Pressey. Coronavirus vaccinations in Champaign County will begin next week for residents 65 and older, the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District announced Thursday. Vaccinations are underway this week for those 65 and older with underlying health conditions, and next week those vaccinations will open up to all in that age group, regardless of health conditions. The clinics will continue at two locations in Champaign, by appointment only. To sign up for a vaccination at the iHotel and Conference Center, go online to bit.ly/CUPHD, all in caps, vaccine, iHotel, or call area code 217-239-7877. To sign up for the clinic at the former Dress Barn store in the Kohl's Plaza, call area code 217-902-6100. People 65 and older who don't get one of the available time slots can get their names on a waiting list by calling area code 217-239-7877 or sending an email to coronavirus@c-uphd.org. Those coming for vaccinations are asked to wear a face covering and allow at least 15 minutes for observation following the vaccination. The cost of the vaccine is being covered by the federal government, and most health insurers are covering the cost to deliver the shot, according to the health district. In Vermilion County, OSF Healthcare was preparing to offer a limited number of vaccinations this week to its patients 65 and older with underlying health conditions. Because the initial supply of vaccine will be limited, OSF will contact patients using OSF MyChart, email, or phone when its Vermilion County patients become eligible for vaccinations, according to Melissa Eddington, Director of Physician Offices in Danville for OSF Multi. Again, for sign up for the iHotel, the phone number is area code 217-239-7877. And the sign up at the Dress Barn store in the Kohl's Plaza is area code 217-902-6100. And if the time slots are filled, you can get on a waiting list by calling area code 217-239-7877, and that's for residents of Champaign County. And see, we've got an energy that was engaging the Champaign School District, and this is by Anthony Zillis. Sheila Boozer calls herself a relationship builder. So it was no surprise that the new Champaign superintendent, who was officially announced as the school board's choice for the job Thursday, was already building relationships with staff and students before she was even offered the job. With the tours that we gave at the various campuses, she engaged school board president Amy Armstrong, said. She engaged with the staff. She asked thoughtful questions. She even provided feedback to one of our principals already as a means of supporting a program they were discussing during the tour. She said even though she hadn't yet been offered the position, she had been giving feedback upon interaction with a staff member. Boozer also solicited ideas, striking up conversations to ask people what they thought of the district during a recent visit to town. That personality, along with her preparedness, the broad base of knowledge she has gleaned from her 23-year career in Springfield, and her ideas to turn the district's ideas regarding racial equity into action made her a perfect fit for the job. We just saw an energy that was engaging, and we saw it as a way to lead the district forward. It was the energy, the passion, the data, and that she spoke specifically to our student body's needs that she was engaged. Her energy was a bright light, and we see her as a being able to effectively be able to communicate and engage our families and our staff, and she wasn't afraid of the challenges that we present as a district. Boozer currently serves as Director of Teaching and Learning and Technology in the Springfield District after working her way up from being a teacher and principal at both the elementary and high school levels. In Champaign, one of her first orders of business will be to turn the district's strategic plan and racism resolution into substance. I believe that we will be a light shining for other districts to follow suit, Boozer said. To me, sometimes we can say we're against racism and we have this policy in place. But until you actually work it, utilize that policy, implement that policy, to me, that's a soundbite. And to me, this is an opportunity to show that this is not a soundbite, but we are going to implement and change lives. Boozer, who said this was the first superintendent job she interviewed for, will officially take over after Susan Zola retires on June 30th. She'll be the first Black woman to serve as the district superintendent. I think it's significant based on what's happening across our nation. On Wednesday, we saw the inauguration of the first Black female vice president, and I think for our student body that is majority Black, they can look up to a Black woman that is leading this district forward. And all of our students will be able to say, I can do that. It's exciting for us that what you're seeing at the national level is showing at the local level with women in leadership and we're excited that in Unit 4 we're going to have our first Black female superintendent. Another article on the front page, and this is from the Board of Trustees meeting. U of I waiting on FDA approval to expand tests. And this is by Ben Zigderman. As students return to campus, the University of Illinois is still waiting on FDA approval to further expand its saliva-based test. President Tim Killeen said emergency use authorization would also allow the U of I to access $20 million in federal funding. At Thursday's Board of Trustees meeting, Killeen said Jay Walsh, the U of I's Vice President for Economic Development and Innovation, and his team are working as hard and as fast as they can to obtain federal approval for our testing, which carries benefits such as liability protection and will allow us to share it more broadly. The state is also providing $20 million in federal CARES Act funding to provide 1 million tests across the state's 12 public universities, including our three campuses, pending FDA emergency use authorization. The U of I applied for the authorization on December 30. While the U of I awaits FDA's independent review, some organizations and universities have already signed up to use its saliva-based test, including the University of Wisconsin, the University of Maine, and Bloom Energy in California. So far, the U of I has processed more than 1.1 million tests at the Urbana campus, where the spring semester begins on Monday. About 26,000 students are expected to return to the Urbana campus this spring and are being asked to limit themselves to essential activities until February 8th. At the meeting, trustees approved the U of I's sixth tuition freeze in five ways. Governor J.B. Pritzker praised the decision, posting on Twitter that especially amid an ongoing pandemic that is impacting schools, student, and staff alike, this was the right move. After trustees approved a 1.8% increase in tuition last year, Pritzker got the U of I to increase its income threshold for the Illinois Commitment Program, which makes tuition free for in-state students from lower-income families. This year's increase was waived for freshmen due to COVID-19. Holding down costs will be just as important next fall, and it is incumbent upon us to support our students and maintain the pipeline of next generation's talent that our state needs to move past the economic fallout of the COVID pandemic. The base tuition rate for the next academic year will be $12,254 at the Urbana campus, $10,776 in Chicago, and $9,502 in Springfield. Tuition also won't be increased for non-Illinois residents or international students, and most graduate programs will have the same rates. Trustees also approved a 0.8% increase in student fees and a 2% increase in room and board. Student fees will increase by $26 to $3,188 per academic year in Urbana. The bulk of it is a $12 increase for transportation, and that is because of a new contract that was negotiated with MTD. This is the first increase since 2017 in the transportation fee. The health fee will decrease by $2 after a new two-year contract was negotiated with a freeze in rates. And room and board will increase in Urbana by $224 to $11,392 per academic year. This will cover inflationary increases in utility costs, as well as in food costs and in some deferred maintenance. Okay, the next article is Little Buford Settles, and this is by Deborah Pressey. A Toloma Bar and Grill's legal battle with the Champaign County Health Department has ended in a settlement. Little Buford's at 102 North Long Street will be on the hook for a $50 fee to get its health permit reinstated. But actions filed by the county that could have potentially carried fines were withdrawn as part of the settlement. Little Buford's owner, Jeff Buckler, couldn't be reached Thursday. A post on the business's Facebook page Thursday said it would be open for beer and wine later that day and was waiting on the health department to come out and do a reinspection. The dispute first arose after the health department suspended Little Buford's health permit December 17th because it was serving indoors in violation of a state COVID-19 mitigation restrictions. It picked up steam after Little Buford's continued operating without a valid permit. This week, state officials lifted the prohibition on indoor dining for the entire 21-county Region 6, which includes Champaign County, though restaurants must still observe capacity limits for safety. Under a permanent injunction order entered by Judge Ben Dyer, Buckler and Little Buford's were permanently prohibited from operating without a valid health permit, with all settlement terms incorporated in the order. Under the agreed settlement, the county agreed to dismiss an ordinance violation against Buckler for operating a food establishment without a valid health permit, but reserved the right to reinstate proceedings if any terms of the agreement are breached. The settlement order also included the state's attorney office withdrawing its petition against Buckler potentially being found in indirect civil contempt of a prior court order that prohibited him from operating without a valid permit. The agreement states that Little Buford's agreed to pay a $50 permit reinstatement fee, submit to another health inspection, and provide the department with a written plan for providing food service consistent with county ordinances and any notices submitted by the health department. And we have the daily Ask the Admin question, and it's a question to the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District's Julie Pride. The question is, we recently learned when older folks, 65 plus, will be able to get their COVID-19 vaccines. But what about younger and middle-aged people with other serious health conditions, for example, with diabetes or asthma? Will they be in the next priority group for vaccination? And her answer, people ages 16 to 64 with underlying health conditions will be vaccinated when we reach group 1C. It is not possible to know how long this will take, as we do not know how much vaccine we will get each week. We will continue moving through all of the categories until everyone in Champaign County who wants to be vaccinated has been. Okay, we now have the high school confidential, which on Fridays during the school year, area students fill us in on what's happening in their hallways. And we have at St. Joseph Ogden. Last Friday, the school's constitution team, taught by Marshall Schock, took part in state finals that were held virtually. The team placed second and advanced to nationals. And some of the member teams pictured here are Garen Meeker, Alec Painter, Maisie Ronk, and Aaron Patton were acknowledged for being the highest scoring unit for St. Joseph Ogden. At Judah Christian, the senior class met to discuss their trip to Florida in March. Students will participate in fundraising, such as selling Fannie Mae chocolate, and also plan on organizing a local community service project before heading to Universal Students in Disney Springs and beach activities. And the people pictured here are Emily Maxwell, Sue Sofranco, Ashley Combs, Katie Bryant, Abby Frederick, and Alaya Helmick, and Josh Lee, Sheldon Okiki, Anna Black, Jeremy Suley, Hannah Heinz, Hope Varvel, Nathan Carreri, and Brandon Baltierra, Philip Durst, Lily Berry, Josh Schultz, and Caleb Crowley, along with Maisie Eisenmenger and Feven Eisenmenger, Anna Eisenmenger, Amber Haferman, Kennedy Barrett, Matthew Willems, Grayson Wacker, Colin Olison, and Tazia Campbell. Wish them good luck in their fundraiser and being able to go to Disney in their spring break. And at Uni High, we have the Uni Green Project. It's an initiative to distribute plants to students looking to brighten up their study spaces. The group was started by English teacher Valerie O'Brien and interim director Elizabeth Majeris, with help from students Olivia Thompson and Olivia Taylor. Plants being offered up for adoption range from pothos cuttings to orchids. And studies have shown the benefits of having plants in workspaces, particularly during winter months. In Monticello, the school's book club received its first book, and pictured here is Courtney Summers' thriller Sadie, pictured with Sophie Rund and Riley Combs, president of the club. And at the Academy High, a total of $1,385 was raised for Eastern Illinois Food Bank through the school's winter auction in December. On January 13th, Caring Crew leaders Sophia Libman and Brianna Ballard delivered the donation to Molly Delaney, the food bank's vice president of development. And we have out of Fisher. The cast of the school's play had its first read-through last Friday. Students will be performing Dorothy Meets Alice, the Wizard of Wonderland. At Oakwood, Principal Tim Lee and Student Resource Officer Beth Damilano handed out cookies to students who are succeeding in school, whether in person or online. Among the recipients were Ricky Arke, Jalen Burgage, and Kobe Fletcher. At Unity, Spanish teacher Emily Sudeth wipes down a desk after class. The staff has worked hard to ensure social distancing among students and maintaining clean classrooms. At Heritage, juniors gather to hear about the Early College and Career Academy program at Parkland College. Assemblies continue to look a different this year, but the students are grateful to be in session. At Milford, despite it being a roller coaster year, the school has kept the Student of the Month tradition intact. And December students pictured here are Luke Truman, Tavon Longest, Trace Fleming, Nicholas Warren, Ben Jackson, Seth Van Hovland, Jaden Shearman, Skylar Kunch, Emilia Marcino, Maddie Hardwick, Olivia Schmink, Micah Sheridan, Caleb Van Hovland, Emma Mann. And we have at Georgetown Ridge Farm, even with most sports postponed, Scholastic Bowl is going strong as team members continue to practice virtually. The first competition is scheduled for February 4th, and the team members include Stanley Coombs, Adrian Arlington, Christopher Clippinger, Journey Clark, Alyssa Henderson, Lillian Booten, and Abigail Tansey. At Champaign Central, winners of the 36th annual MLK Junior Living the Dream Scholarships, Nate Allen received the Herb Stevens Memorial Award for overcoming adversity. Maylin Daly and Kylia Rogers received the Willie Somerville Memorial Award for Excellence in the Arts. They were honored during Sunday's virtual ceremony. At Paxton Buckley Lota, show choir signups began ahead of a Google Meet information meet with chorus teacher Christina Mock. The plan is to practice once a week virtually with the hope of performing in the spring. At Chrisman, students did online testing last week at school as in-person learning continues. At Arthur Lovington, Atwood Hammond, staff came up with a positive referral policy where students are sent to the office for good behavior, recognized by a teacher, where they are rewarded with a small prize and a call home. At DeLan Weldon, the Scholastic Bowl team has practiced and competed virtually this season. And the students shown here are Jack Schmidt, Charlie Schmidt, and Destiny Houston. And we have at Blue Ridge, labs in Cullen Spurlock's chemistry classes welcome students back. And the students pictured here are Riley Pruitt, Christopher Harder, Isaiah Dalton, and Sammy Bugern, Morgan Doors, and Ashlyn Voiles. At Gibson City, Melvin Sibley, the high school transitioned to remote learning last week. Students connected with classmates and teachers via Google Meets. And pictured here is a concert choir group practicing their plate piece for a potential virtual contest in the spring. And that is the end of the High School Confidential for this Friday. And we have at Top of the Morning by Bob Asmussen. Are you itching to put on your roller skates back on? Well, you're in luck. Thanks to recent easing of COVID-19 restrictions, Skateland in Savoy plans to reopen early next month. February 3rd is the target date, said Bob Householder, who owns the business with his wife, Jean. The first session is scheduled for 6:30 to 8:30. Bob Householder said the entire 12-person staff will be returning. Skateland's first closed because of the coronavirus pandemic on March 16th. So the first few things of the week we were getting, this was during the summertime, we weren't getting 50 people. And then there were a couple Saturdays where we had 140 people throughout the whole day. We had people waiting in the cars to come in. We played by the rules. We tried to do the right thing. Tuesday marks the 19th year of the Householders having owned Skateland. They said that keeping the business clean and safe are top priorities. There are sanitation stations throughout, and then when they reopen, one employee will be dedicated to wiping everything down. Roller skates are disinfected both when they are picked up and when they are returned. And what happened in today's world in history, on January 22nd, 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court, in its Roe v. Wade decision, recognized that a woman's constitutional privacy rights entitled her to have an abortion. And also, former President Lyndon B. Johnson died at his Texas ranch at age 64. And also on this date, in 1901, Britain's Queen Victoria died at age 81. And I'm going to take a short break, and I'll be back for the second half of the reading of the News Gazette for Friday, January 22nd.